but I still think it's going to get down bad.
We need to know. I don't think we are. I'm going to have to go verify tomorrow, but I get the impression that they did the maneuvering, and so they. All I know. So I need to try to find out tomorrow. I'm sure we.
Hey, I'm good. I mean, barely. Oh, you have to go home for a time.
I just got from malaria.
Wow, that's a trap.
It was, there is no good way to get malaria from here. It was like 604, 83, 57. There's no good way. It's like only 20.
Oh,
wow.
She's going hands free.
Is the high school she put her leg down?
Somehow.
There's a whole lot of us that are today.
We were worried, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the January 19th meeting of Orrville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Paul Simonson from the Orrville Christian Missionary Alliance Church. Would you please stand?
Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for your provision and blessing in our lives. We're thankful for the freedom to gather together, to meet and discuss and to debate. We're thankful, Lord, for our emergency responders and security personnel. Pray especially for their safety and wisdom, especially in these colder months. We're thankful, Lord, for those who are serving on City Council and those who are willing to serve our city. We pray, Lord, for wisdom tonight for them. As they think and as they discuss, I pray, Lord, that you give them great understanding of what is best for our city and compassion for people around them. We're thankful, Lord, for what you can accomplish and how you will help throughout all of the aspects of this meeting tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shoup.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Spiris.
Here.
Korfman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our last meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Vance.
I move that we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spiris?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled this evening. We'll move to the standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Spiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Director Strumlin has passed out the 2016 final appropriations schedule, starting with the workbooks to the directors for final expenditures and any outstanding expenditures ending December 31st, 2015, and that would commence on 1/26, January 26th of this month. And then preliminary appropriations to the finance department, police, fire, pension, insurance requirements, and health, life, dental, Medicare, etc. And that is on February 17th, the due date for that. And then the completion of appropriations to the finance department, including all the director's narratives. And that's on the 20th of February. And then the utility board approval would be on the 22nd of February. And then March 4th, council, the mayor, and all directors will get the completed appropriations, final appropriations. And then we will prepare ordinance up for first reading on March 7th. Second reading will be after the utility board meeting, the 7 o'clock regular utility board meeting, 6:30, but roughly 7 o'clock. On the 14th of March, we'll have second reading and a special meeting of council, including the workshop. And then if all goes well, third reading on March 21st, here on our regular council meeting. And then all this hinges on getting the appropriations to the county auditor by March 22nd. Let's say at the bottom of this calendar that council has, the chairman of finance committee has approved this calendar. I am the chairman, so I'll make a motion to accept this schedule as I just covered.
Second, Mr. Corbin.
Bam?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corbin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
And that's all I have this evening. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We'll move to utilities. Mr. Corbin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report. We do have some interesting artwork distributed by the director of Smithland as it is underwater. It's one of our hydro projects. That's a lot of water. When we've been on it, it's much lower. So, interesting. We thank him for our artwork. That's all I have.
Thank you. Health and safety. Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Transportation. Mr. Shute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
Thank you. Planning. Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nothing here, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and personnel. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Okay, we have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to our administrative reports. Mayor Handworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have more than all of you will even want to hear tonight, probably. So, aside from the State of the City address, which we'll do here in a few minutes, I have a few other things that I wanted to bring to your attention, too. The first one is just that the choice for the Service Department's Employee of the Month for January was Eric Sigley. Eric was hired on December 19th in 2005 as a utility worker and promoted to Service Worker 1 on June 4th, 2014. He works in the street department but also helps at parks and the cemetery. Eric was chosen for always being willing to do whatever is asked and having a good attitude about it. He worked in the parks division this spring to get all the ball fields ready and prepared for baseball season each night for all the games, and did a very good job with that. Eric also has an aquatic pest control license and maintains the city pond on North Vine Street. And a quote from John Scott, our service department
superintendent,
yeah. Appreciate Eric's work ethic and his desire to get the job done efficiently. And Eric enjoys hunting and resides in Orville with his wife Marcine and their four children. And we had lunch a week or two ago. I'm trying to think where. Oh, we had it at Old Carolina. That's where it was. All right. Secondly, December kind of slipped past us, and we had some appointments that I needed to bring for council's approval for some of our new committees, people's terms that ran out and so forth. We usually do that the last week in December, and I just realized a week or so ago we forgot to do that. The people were all contacted and already, you know, said they were willing to serve again. but we just forgot to bring it to council. So if I can get council's approval for, I think we have four or five, and I'll also read over the other ones that don't need council approval, but just so you know who all is renewed or something like that on one of these commissions. For Public Utility Board, Russell Miller is going to accept another term, so I would appreciate council's motion and approval for that.
I move we appoint Russell Miller.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Thank you. For the Board of Zoning Appeals, Dave Maurer also agreed to serve another term. So I would ask council's approval for him.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Thank you. And Street Tree Commission, Matt Plyvin has also agreed to do another term.
I move we approve Matt Plyvin to the Street Tree Commission.
Thank you.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Thank you. And the last one for council's approval would be for the Design Review Board. These are two folks that are on there already and have agreed to serve another term, Barb Weaver and Audrey Merkel.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
And just for your information, some of the others that did not need council's approval, but just so you're aware of who is still serving, for the Planning Commission, Bob Snyder accepted another term on that. Civil Service Commission, Steve Seifert has agreed to do another term there. A representative to the Wayne County Board of Health, Carl Ford, who was a practicing attorney here in Oroville but has retired from that but still said he would like to do that for the County Board of Health, so that works out well for us. Let's see, Street Commission did that one. The Nuisance Abatement Committee, and this is a group, it's kind of difficult to call them and ask them if they'll do it every year because we've never had to meet, but we do have to have the committee there in case we do have that need. And Rich Corkman, our councilman, serves on there along with Ron Desiker, Alicia McDonald, and Troy Bassessi did serve on there for a few years, but they're going to be moving. In fact, I think he might have already gone to where he's working, so replace him with Tim McGuire, just so everybody's aware of that one. And the Income Tax Review Committee, again, this is one that has not had to meet, but we have to have this in place. And Steve Knox and Chris Conway have agreed to do that again. And they have another position, but it's vacant, and that would be appointed if the committee met. Then those two would choose somebody to be on that with them. All right. Now, for our State of the City, City Council members and citizens of Oroville and City Administration and employees, we have completed a very busy and successful year in 2015. I'd like to thank Andrew Canode from Armstrong Cable and Paul Loker from the Daily Record for covering our council meetings each week or each time that we meet. It's great that interested citizens can read the summary of our meetings in the Daily Record or watch the entire council meeting on Channel 4. That's been available to our Armstrong customers for many years. Financially, the City of Oroville remains on firm foundation. 2015 revenue for the general fund will be slightly lower than 2014. However, we need to keep in mind that we recorded record revenues over the past few years. Income tax withholding has increased when comparing 2014 to 15, which would indicate that businesses and industry have hired more individuals or are paying higher wages. Capital expenditures are estimated to be $2.8 million, with over 90% of those expenditures for contractual expenditures for roadway improvements. And as all of you know, we've been pushing that the last few years, and we've got as many improvements as we can get each year out of our dollars, and have gotten quite a few improvements over our streets the last 5 or 6 years. The city had one outstanding debt obligation for construction for the industrial park, which was paid off in 2015, and this loan was not required to be paid off until 2017. So 2 years early payoff is pretty good. Over the past few years, the city of Orville has experienced revenue reductions through legislative changes at the state level that have exceeded $650,000. And we've talked about these in various different times in different council meetings about this or that thing that is disappearing from state reductions. But the total for the last few years, $650,000. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk of money. We've been able to make staffing reductions through attrition and other decreases in expenditures to continue to provide service to our residents at the same level they expect despite the changes in the revenue reduction. 2015 was also the year that allowed the federal EPA and Orville Utilities to reach a final agreement for coal use and future generation of power locally at our Orville Power Plant. Mr. Brettinger, I'm sure, will go into further details of that agreement in his report in a few weeks. But the bottom line is we're still in the power generating business, and we intend to be there for many years to come. Our partnership with American Municipal Power, AMP, and Ohio Municipal Electric Association, OMEA, continues to be strong with representation on both boards of directors. Mr. Brettinger represents Orville on the AMP Board of Directors, and I represent Orville on the OMEA Board. Both are elected positions by city. Our tech services department continues to keep the city and utility tech support systems running smoothly so we can better serve our citizens and utility customers. New software was purchased in 2015 to be used throughout City Hall, and we are in the process of getting that finalized and getting ready to switch over to those things now. This was a huge job, big undertaking, and this department plus Ms. Strimlin was very instrumental in getting this all done. These are some big changes, but they're ones that will make it easier to better serve our citizens and customers. Water and wastewater facilities are running very efficiently and still have plenty of capacity left for the future. Our wastewater plant just finished up a major project that began this past summer with the addition of a new effluent screen, and this piece of equipment will help this plant run for years to come. 2015 was another very busy year for Mr. Wheeler and the Safety Service Department. With plenty of snow in the first third of 2015, it was a welcome surprise to have no snowfall the last third of the year, which all of us have just come through and most of us grateful for. Planning and engineering of projects takes place in the winter months so that when the warm weather hits, we are ready to get started. We were loaded this summer with several neighborhood streets that were asphalt overlays, our half of the Backmaslin Road project, lots of concrete street repair on Hostetler, Crown Hill, and Elm, and a few other spots. The other large project was the High Street extension and the intersection widening at Main and High. This was one phase of the truck route. The High Street extension part went very well, almost better than we expected. The Main and High intersection, as everyone knows, was held up because of delivery of the new light poles and the electrical work. This was out of our control completely, as we've mentioned a few times, and fell back on the contractor. We could not do the work on Hostetler Road in early summer like we wanted to, because once we found out the county was going to reconstruct the bridge on the Backmaslin Road, Hostetler Road became the detour, and so we had to wait until that project was finished before we could actually start on Hostetler Road. And as you know, we had a great deal of concrete work to do on Hostetler Road, so it was a push to get it all done before cold weather hit again, but we did get that finished. And I would apologize for construction inconveniences to all of our citizens. It was very frustrating for us sometimes, too. A lot was completed by our own service department, too. Catch basin repair is ongoing every summer. and tree plantings, tree removals, due mostly from the Emerald Ash Borer. We've got quite a few ash trees that still have to be removed. We just couldn't even do them all last year. Parks, pool, and cemetery maintenance, and the countless other jobs that our service department does every year, such as leaf pickup and putting up and taking down the Christmas decorations downtown. The Pine Street portion of the truck route was scheduled, and we have been ready for construction in 2016, but due to some issues that are not related to us, that may get pushed to 2017. We're not sure about that yet, but it looks like that's probably what's going to happen. Once again, when referring to the truck route, this is not going to eliminate truck traffic in town. It is our hope that it will make it easier for trucks to get around and maneuver. We are blessed with thriving industries, and with those thriving industries, we're going to have trucks. And that's just one of the things we're going to live with. Our goal is to help them stay out of our yards and also help them get to their desired location efficiently. Our police department continues to get a younger feel to it as several new full and part-time officers were sworn in 2015 and early 2016. We prepare for the retirement of Chief Carrozza this spring. Rumor had it that he was going to be the new Browns head coach. But as you all know, that was given to somebody else last week. So, Chief, you're going to have more of a leisurely summer this summer. Maybe an usher's job up there. You might want to look into that. You're the Dr. Pepper guy. I think you could do that one. We've also worked very closely with Captain Birkbeck, Chief Carrozza, and also Chief Ballantyne of the Fire Department with the new dispatch agreement when we joined the WARCOG. As some of you may remember, the initial stand for Worcester-Ashland Regional Council of Governments. When we joined, both Worcester and Ashland were open to changing the name to help include us. But in reality, Mr. Weir and I both felt, you know, these two are the two that took the leap to begin with. They've invested more than we have in this from the beginning, and we were fine with leaving the name the way it is. We kind of like to think of the O and the COG as Orville, so we'll just go with that. The entire idea was not taken lightly by any means. Our chiefs and Captain Birkbeck did their homework. Mr. Wheeler certainly did his. We toured other regional dispatch facilities and still took several months to even decide ourselves. We had council workshops to allow them to see the advantages that we saw, and when council agreed with us, we did formally join. While it will be a considerable cost savings for us as the city, once it is up and running, the real slam dunk for us was the ability to bring our dispatchers along with us, those that wanted to go. And the overwhelming evidence that it will be a safer system for our citizens and also keep our dispatchers in an environment where help is always near when things get very busy, and that can certainly happen. Equipment purchases are going well, as is construction and remodeling of the building, so hopefully our April 1st deadline still is a possibility. Our fire department and Oroville Firefighters Association had another great year besides their firefighting duties. Their hard work on the entire 4th of July celebration week and softball tournaments is incredible. And I love the way that they work with our police department when Shop with a Cop time comes around each year. That level of cooperation between those departments is not the norm everywhere, and it's a tribute to the leadership in both of those departments. Our police department does a great job with a Shop with a Cop every year, as well as their daily police duties. Fire department choice for Firefighter of the Year was Captain Ron Ballantyne this past December, and what a great choice that was. It's his second time being chosen, and that puts him in rare company. I think only two other people have been that distinction twice. He's very deserving of that award, does a great job. And Police Department Officer of the Year, Corey Seiler, and Dispatcher of the Year, Pam Morris. Both Corey and Pam are excellent at their job. And I'm also happy to say that Pam will still be dispatching for us as a member of the WARCOG as soon as it's up and running. I'm very happy to announce this year that progress for Oroville's own hotel has moved along nicely. I was just in communication with one of their representatives today. Land has been chosen. Cobblestone Hotel representatives have visited Oroville numerous times this year. And unless something goes terribly wrong, which we don't anticipate. Construction of the three-story, 54-room hotel with the pool and conference room should begin early spring or summer. Orville's location is scheduled to be Cobblestone's first project in Ohio. So I think that's pretty neat. We'll be their first hotel in Ohio. They've got many others in surrounding states, but we'll be the first one that they've got in Ohio. There's another one that they're working with very closely right now, too. With all the events that go on each year in Orville, this will be a great addition to the community. As economic development goes, 2015 was another great year. The biggest story of the year, of course, was the announcement from the J.M. Smucker Company and the Big Heart brand pet foods project, the building of another multi-million dollar office building on their growing campus, and the announcement of 400 new jobs coming to Orville over the next 3 to 4 years. Certainly an impressive statement for commitment and stability of this 115-year-old company. Venture Products moved forward with expansion plans for their new company with new purchase of land in our newest business park near the current facility that they have. And groundbreaking is planned for that in 2016. Jarrett Companies continues to expand also with the building of a 100,000-square-foot warehouse just north of their current facility. Portico Plaza also continued to be a big part of Orville with Baja West Coast Kitchen joining Old Carolina Barbecue Company, as well as the opening of Very Good Frozen Yogurt. This plaza area now also contains Zephyr's, CrossFit, and H&R Block. Other small businesses that opened this year were Lifescapes Photography Studio, a new location for the Bouquet Shop, and Relax and Thrive Massage Therapy. The Chamber of Commerce does a great job working with our new businesses and coordinating ribbon cuttings and grand openings if the business so desires to do that. The city's relationship with Lori and the Chamber has been great as we work together with our flower program, safety program, workforce development program, and different events throughout the year. As far as your mayor is concerned, in addition to my duties here in town, which always come first if there is a conflict, I remain on the OMEA board, the board of directors for the Ohio Municipal League, board member of the Ohio Mayors Association, the Wayne County Economic Development Council Board, Orville Area Boys and Girls Club Board of Directors, and Heartland Education Steering Committee, and will serve this year as president of the board for the WARCOG. That's a rotating position from all the cities that are involved. In my spare time, I still serve as husband, dad, and grandpa, and look forward to a great 2016. So, any questions? If not, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mayor Edwards.
Yes.
Are you able to say where the location of the hotel is? Yeah, you said land was purchased?
It's just south of the Ford dealership.
Okay.
Where that bank used to be out there.
Yeah. Anyone else have any questions? Thank you. We'll move on to our safety service director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Short report tonight. Trash pickup is a regular scheduled day this week. There aren't any delays, so same day as always for this week for trash pickup. Also, the service department was out for a few salt runs over the weekend. I do want to assure everyone that we're still in really good shape with the salt supply. So that's all I have for tonight.
Thank you. We'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Prediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, will be brief. No report from the electric department. From the water side of our business, with the changing colder winter temperatures, we have been experiencing a few minor water leaks, nothing near comparison to some of the issues that Cleveland has had and things along that line. So our issues are pretty much commonplace this time of year. Fortunately, so far, the half a dozen or so that we've had so far have been contained to just a couple of residences there. So if we don't get into any real major spell, hopefully we'll make it through the winter without much of an event there. As Mr. Korfman mentioned, I did give you a photograph of our Smithland hydroelectric facility. Up until last week, shortly after Christmas, that project has been underwater for, by about 2 feet. Due to a lot of the flooding in the the western part of the state of Illinois and in Kentucky. Despite all that, the workers still have access to the facility. The construction works is still being done. There's still access to it. If that unit was in service today and operational, due to the water level on both sides of the plant being equal, there's really no flow, so to speak, or would not be enough flow to operate that facility during those periods. Again, I think I mentioned that those are designed to operate underwater, and they do that. I did mention at our last council meeting also that beginning in the end of December, first part of January, we started commissioning our hydro facilities. I'm happy to announce that one of our units at Willow Island was commissioned on January 7th. So this month we will be receiving hydro energy from one of our four hydro sites. We do have, there are two units at that site. The second unit is in a commissioning mode and should be commissioned, we expect, by the end of the month. Two of the three turbines at our Melnall facility, that's down outside of Cincinnati, are in commissioning phase. One of those should be commissioned before the end of this month. One of the three units at our Camelton site is in commissioning mode. That unit should be commissioned before the end of this month, with the other two commissioned before the end of February, early March. So come about the end of March, all three of the four hydro plants, with a total of 8 units, should be in service. Our last hydro facility that we're partners with, the Smithland facility, which you have a picture of, is not due to complete that construction work until September of this year. So all that work is going good. When the Smithland project does come on board, we will be receiving roughly 12.5 megawatts of energy out of that. That's 12.5 out of the 63 that we generate on a peak day. That will represent, along with our current wind contract and our other hydro allotment that we receive from the New York Power Authority, we will have roughly 20% of our energy coming from renewable projects. So a good start to the 2016 year from the projects that's making up our big bulk of our hydro backbone. And some of these projects have been under construction for almost 4 years, so the end of a lot of work. And we'll have a lot more information on that, as the mayor mentioned, along with a few other topics that our utilities annual report later on sometime March or so. That's all the comments I have for tonight, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Redinger. We'll move to our finance director, Ms. Tremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to share a couple income tax reminders since it is that time of year. First, with regard to filing requirements, anyone that's a resident over the age of 18 is required to file a return. College students who are claimed as dependents by their parents are also required to file. Non-residents who work in Orrville that do not have city tax withheld by their employers are also required to file. Non-residents who own rental property in town. Resident and non-resident businesses that are located or doing business within the city limits. Retirees are required to file a return if they have earned income, for instance, from W-2s or 1099 miscellaneous forms, rental or Schedule C income. Those individuals that are retired are required to file. Retirees that are not required to file would not have any taxable income. That can mean they can have income such as Social Security or retirement payments, disability, 401k, or simply interest and dividend income. Those retirees are not required to file a return with the city this year. Our forms have been modified to comply with House Bill 5 and our new legislation. A note with regard to that, we traditionally had mailed tax forms. We will not be doing that this year. The forms will be available online. There's a PDF fill-in-the-blank version on our website. You can fill it in there and print it off, sign it, and send it in. We'll also have forms available in the City Hall lobby or at the library. If it's not possible to get a form by any of those means, if you give our income tax administrator a call, we can mail a form to your residence. Also, this is the first year that declarations of estimated tax will be mandatory for 2016. So if in 2015 the balance due on your tax is $200 or greater, you are required to make quarterly estimated payments to us. So keep that in mind as well. The tax deadline, again, is April 15th, so you just need to make sure your returns are postmarked to avoid a late filing penalty. And as always, our income tax office is open from 8 to 4:30. Feel free to call or stop in with any questions you might have. Our website also has our new ordinance online that possibly can answer some of your other questions. But again, feel free to call us if you have any questions. And that's all I have this evening.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions of Ms. Trimlin? Thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkwright.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. This evening I have one item. Council needs to pass a motion to appoint two members to the Fireman's Dependency Fund Board for 2016. Those members are Edward Hershey and William Ernstberger. We'll need a motion for that.
I move we appoint Ed and Bill to another term on that board.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Lorson.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Kasperis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll now move. We have no old business, so we'll move to our new business. Mr. Lorson.
Resolution number 116. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Kasperis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution number 116, resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the construction of the Downtown Depot restroom building in the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. Have anything for us?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this is the result of receiving our final documents from ODNR, Ohio Department of Natural Resources, for a grant that we are receiving. We received notification, we received it. There's a little bit of fine-tuning that had to occur. And finally, we have received all the documentation to proceed with the project. This resolution allows us to go out for bids for the restroom, and then obviously the trail itself is next. The next resolution on the agenda, the grant itself is for $416,831. It is a 75% grant, so 25% obviously in addition has to be provided by the city. The Rails to Trails program is going to supply the 25% through fundraising. This restroom is going to be in front of the Historical Museum. I do have a conceptual drawing, if you will, of the restroom. Obviously right here. So what this allows us to do is to go out for bids. We do have to have ODNR approval of the actual plans. Once they give us that approval, we'll be able to move forward. We wanted to bring it to council tonight so that once we receive that, we can proceed as rapidly as possible to go out for bids. Our goal is to have the restroom completed prior to the Rotary Ribbon Music Fest, which this year is August 19th and 20th.
Lions.
So that's a
Lions.
Oh, Lions, I'm sorry. Lions Ribbon Music Fest. That's an aggressive schedule, so we need to move forward fairly quickly. once we do receive ODNR's blessing. Becky Jewell is here as well. Obviously, Becky's played a large part in not only the grant, but in the project itself, so she's here to answer any questions you might have that maybe I don't know the answer to in regards to the specifics of the trail.
Anyone have any questions for Mrs. Jewell or for Mr. Wheeler? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you just give us a brief run-by of what the facility will have in it? And
it really is truly just restrooms.
Just that's what it is.
In front of it will be a kiosk with a providing information of the local information as well as about the trail itself, men's room, ladies' room. We met recently and with Rails of Trails, and we feel like it'll look closely related to the Orr Park restroom that was just constructed. Might be a little nicer than that since it's right out there in the downtown area. It will have some form of heat in it because it is going to be potentially used year-long, especially if the winter is as cooperative as it has been this year. So I can't think of anything. Becky, can you think of anything that might be useful that I'm missing on the restroom construction?
No, I don't think you're missing anything about the restroom facility, and that will be considered the trailhead area.
Good point.
The trailhead area for the project.
Who's going to maintain that restroom?
That will be city property, so we will maintain it similar to the way we maintain Orr Park. It actually will have automated locks on it, though, so it will lock automatically at a certain time every evening. And of course, that will depend on what season it is and when it gets dark. So.
Mr. Wheeler, yes, sir. I see in the rendition it looks like it architecturally favors the depot itself. Will you hold those elements true?
Correct. The roofing will be actually the same. Mr. Edwards has agreed to provide the same shingles as what is used for their roof project, so it should look very similar. We are trying to stick to the same color so that it blends in and doesn't stick out, if you will. So. But yes, we're definitely trying to meet the design of the area as well.
Mr. Hampshire.
I just wanted to mention this is part of the 2010 comprehensive plan that we approved in 2010. So it's nice to be moving forward with a pilot project that we, as a body, agreed to. This is going to be a very nice addition.
Good point. Yes, sir. And to piggyback on that as well, the Planning Commission has reviewed this as well and approved it and recommended approval from Council as well.
Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question I had was that first of all, this is a great project.
Yes, sir.
I know it's been a long time coming. I think Rails to Trails had a vision several years ago coming through here, and I think you guys are celebrating your 20th year. So I think this is great. I know this is the second time we applied for this grant. First time we did not get it. So this is awesome. I know the 25% match would bring the fund into, looks like, roughly $521,000. My question is, does that take care of the project? Or will additional funding be needed?
Well, to be honest with you, depending on how the bids come in, is really the variable and all that. After our meeting in regards to the restroom, we are still waiting on some final numbers regarding the updated engineer estimate with some of the things we were trying to achieve with the matching to the area. So at this point, it does look like it potentially will come up short designing out, depending on how the bids come up. But I believe Rails to Trails is committed to matching those funds. Keep in mind, we also did budget in capital fund last year $10,000 with the assumption that potentially the project would start last year. I do plan to do $10,000 in the upcoming budget as well to try to contribute from the city side. Okay. And obviously, that's at council's discretion whether or not that's enough or too much or what have you. So.
Okay, and then the second question I have, probably more for Mrs. Jewell. Can you tell us how it's been going thus far with phase one?
With phase one, We're actually, because we were fortunate enough to get the grant, we're building part of phase two before we're building phase one.
Okay.
Phase one is Fora Road into Marshallville.
Right.
And phase two is Fora Road back into Orville. So with this grant, we'll be building part of phase two.
Okay.
This year.
Okay, no legal issues or anything like that?
For phase two?
Both phases, actually.
There are still outstanding legal issues in phase one.
Okay.
That has not been totally resolved at this point.
Will that affect any of this?
No, that does not affect this.
Thanks. Anyone else have any questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, several events throughout the summer help support this. Orville Rotary does a 5K, the Pancakes Rotary has done a good bulk of the fundraising for the 25%, and it has gone pretty well.
Mr. Banks, did you have a question?
Yeah, I haven't heard much about how we'll mark the bike lanes going through town. I know I've seen a number of ideas in other communities that I thought were really neat and innovative, and you know, I hope we'll be able to take advantage of the opportunity to maximize, you know, our opportunities we have to for innovative bike lane markings and just making it clear how to get through town, and so the vehicles will, you know, maximize the right of way of cyclists as they make their way through the city as well. So, you know, I don't know what ideas are being thought of, but just hoping to see some of those ideas put in place.
In Orville, as you leave the depot, you'll be on West Market Street, and then you'll be on Sterling. And on Sterling, you'll cross Church Street and then High Street, and then you'll be actually in the Blackwell Williams property. And in those areas, it will be marked as share the road. There will not be a designated bike lane on those roadways. It'll just be marked as a share the road.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't mean a separate lane, but just a way to, you know, to mark that there are cyclists using this area.
And we have the plan now that has been laid out by our engineers for the signage. If we find that that's not enough, we can add additional signs just so it's very clear for people that aren't familiar with town how to get from one location to another.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Thorson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 116 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 216. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Spears?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 216, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the construction of the Heartland Trail Phase 2 in the city of Orville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler, anything for this one?
Well, Mr. President, this is the second part of that same grant application, and that I think Ms. Jewell just described that, you know, the vicinity of where that was headed and all those kind of things. So once it goes to Blackwell Williams, it'll cross over into the utility property, go in front of Serpentini, and then cross over onto Raspberry.
Any questions? Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two-part question. How long does this plan take? And will there be any traffic disruptions?
Traffic disruptions, I think potentially just some I would say potentially some. Mineral Springs maybe a little bit as we're doing some crossing over there. There will obviously be some. I don't think it'll be anything like what you've experienced over the summer or anything like that. But yes, I mean, I think the most disruption obviously will be for the construction of the restrooms. And the timeline is we'd like to have that done, you know, similar in time to when the restrooms are completed as well.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chief.
This section is to be a mile long. Is that about right?
Is that correct, Becky?
I think it's approximately.
Yeah, I thought it was just right around a mile. That sounds right, yeah.
And it's going north out of town on the old along the old railroad bed. Are we going as far as the back Mouson Road with it?
In this phase? Phase two would be from just on the, it would be just west of Fora Road back into Orville at the depot. So what we're building here is just part of phase two, basically from Raspberry Road back to the depot. So the next part of phase two will be from Raspberry North. Right now the plan is to be along the west side of the railroad tracks until you get beyond the existing rail. And then from then it'll be, and that's close to Fora Road. From that point then it'll be on that.
You said it'll go to Fora Road? Fora Road or the back Mouson Road?
It'll be Fora Road, and then there's a short piece before it crosses back Mouson.
Okay.
But that's, it's just like a small triangle.
Yeah.
It crosses from getting from Fora over to back Mouson Main Road.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Vance.
Any thought about people getting across 57 in front of Serpentine? Any traffic control or signage or anything that's being contemplated there?
Yeah, we're definitely looking into this, you know, what signage will, you know, should have and can have in regards to being on 57. But yeah, we'll have markings and signings as permitted.
Go fast.
Yeah.
Don't try to the quarter so late. Usually that's not a busy bike time. Anyone else have any comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
I move resolution number 216 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yep.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Ordinance number A16. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Ordinance number A16. An ordinance accepting and confirming the dedication of a portion of Terrapin Trail, Sunview Lane, and West Market Street in the city of Orville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler, you got anything for us here?
Thank you, Mr. President. This one is obviously fairly straightforward. Marsh Ridge, this phase of Marsh Ridge was constructed over the summer into the fall. It's now been completed. They're asking us to accept the roadways as dedicated. That way they can move forward with construction. Potential construction of new houses in that area.
Anyone have any questions?
I do.
Mr. Shoup.
Thank you. Is all the grading completed with this section that they're actually?
There was a little bit of grading remaining. They were waiting to do in the basin areas. Beyond that, everything else is completed. Stow is supposed to be out to do those literally any day now.
So there is a detention pond to be dug yet?
Well, it's dug. It's not graded to plan yet.
There's been some issues with soil running down through the neighborhood. So,
I mean, lately?
Even beyond the silt fence. I suppose you've probably been contacted by some of the people.
Not recently. That's why I was asking if it was recently. Yeah.
This has been in some of the hard rains a few weeks back.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that they were going to get a way to hold that water in a detention system. I was up there and looked. I didn't see anything that looked like it was ready for a water detention area. But I just want to make sure that that's taken care of through this process.
Dan Lyle's working with staff to have some final grading stuff done. I can have Dan get a hold of you tomorrow if there's some areas that you have questions in regards to.
If he wants to call me, that'll be fine. Appreciate it.
Obviously, we want to have those done before there's any houses constructed. So we've been in contact with Stout, and this is another example. Though we're trying to get the dedication done, so once the grading is completed, they can move forward. They say that there's some folks anxious to get started on construction.
Okay, that's fine.
Anyone else have any questions? Yes, sir.
Has there been a punch list completed, including things like dormant seating and mulching for ground cover?
Yeah, the only thing remaining is some grading, as Mr. Shoup mentioned.
Okay.
They're aware of it and are literally supposed to tackle here any day now. And then I'm sure they'll come back in and reseed because of the lateness of when the project get done, especially some of the work on Market as well that they had to do. So they'll definitely come back in and seed. I know some folks had some of their yards impacted that they'll come back and redo.
Anyone else? Mr. Vance.
It's concrete streets.
Yes.
And then will the city then be responsible to replace those streets then over time?
In 40 years.
40
I'm
years.
I'm kidding with you. I hope. Yeah. Hopefully, yes. I mean, we will be. Once it's dedicated to us, it's ours to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally with them being concrete streets and with there being not a whole lot of traffic, I would hope those would hold up for a long time to come.
We shouldn't need any money in the budget next year for those streets.
Sure, then we better not.
Well, I mean, we dealt with Viking and all that. Those
were very good. That's a good question because, yes, that's now going to be another concrete street for us to maintain over time.
Any other comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes regarding the reading of an ordinance in three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
I move ordinance number A16 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Korfman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that completes our new business for this evening. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order?
I move we adjourn.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're adjourned.
Have a safe trip.
Mostly board meeting done.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's what they got. I was trying to make it work. I hope it lasts a long time before we have to replace it.
It'll be 40 years.
I will say, being down there, you know, it's kind of good right now.
Oh, man.
I didn't know what the, I didn't know if folks, you know what I interpreted it as.